Sunny Young. Happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you're kicking off with Zimbabwe football.
Kim, the Warriors of Zimbabwe are ending 2015, ranked 31st in Africa and 110th overall by FIFA, World Football's governing body. While those rankings really don't make you puff out your chest with pride, there does appear to be a positive vibe in the Zimbabwe camp ahead of the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, which kicks off January 16th in Rwanda. The Warriors are grouped with Mali, Uganda, and Zambia for the first round of the 16-team tournament, which features players exclusively from African national leagues. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's head coach, Callisto Pasua, reportedly will sign a 3-year contract after the country's football association agreed to pay some of his outstanding salary and allowances. Reporter Michael Cariotti tells us more from the capital, Harare.
The good news is that Pasua, who was kicked out recently under controversial circumstances and reinstated following a public outcry and ministerial intervention, is about to sign a contract with the Football Federation. Pasua and Zifa were not at liberty to discuss the details of the contract, though the Warriors' mentor indicated that he's currently looking into the contract handed over to him a few days ago. He did not have a contract under the Kadebele Zifa board, which was booted out of office 3 months ago and replaced by one led by businessman Philip Chiangwa, following accusations of failing to properly run soccer in Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, for the first time in years, Zimbabwe's Warriors are enjoying life in camp with no complaints over accommodation and food or non-payment of allowances. All the players scored are in camp with the exception of goalkeeper Takaba Mawaya of Wange, who has returned home due to a shoulder injury, and teenage Hadebe of Islanders, who has been excused to attend to his sick mother. The Warriors are in camp preparing for the 2016 African Nations Championships, or CHAN, which will run in Rwanda from January 16 to February 7. There's so much happiness and unity in camp that Captain Danny Piri, who has not been training due to an injury, is promising that the Warriors will this time around reach the final or probably bring the trophy back home.
I would like to promise them that we'll go through to the finals this time.
Even coach Callisto Pasua is a happy man after receiving his dues as a fulfillment of a promise made by Zifa president Philip Chiangwa during his election time.
What Zifa requires at the moment is somebody where we shall to be able to first and foremost ensure that the contracts signed by footballers are honored, that they are paid on time, that the coaches are paid on time.
Just like his captain, Pasua is confident that the Warriors will negotiate their way from their group stages and go all the way to the final.
As team that played in the CHAN, we went all the way to the semi-finals, and we want to do better than that.
As part of their preparations, Chiangwa says they've arranged a friendly match against neighbors Mozambique at a date still to be announced. He told the players to compensate their loss of participation in the 2018 World Cup with a good show in Pan-African football, adding that Zifa on their part will do their best.
Missed out on the 2018 competition, so this is our only way of consoling ourselves, and we've got to do the best that we can. I trust that you can see they're practicing, and the coach is there with his full team there. I believe they have satisfied themselves right now that they should train and compensate the 2018 loss.
The last time the Warriors were African Nations Championships, the Zimbabweans finished fourth behind winners Libya, runners-up Ghana, and third place Nigeria in South Africa 2014. Reporting in Harare, this is Michael Cariotti.
Thank you.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, one of the year's big fights took place November 21st when Saul Alvarez, a.k.a. Canelo, beat Miguel Cotto by unanimous decision in a middleweight world championship bout. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2015, let's listen in to the post-fight verbal jabs from our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, the Mexican star Canelo, defeats Miguel Cotto to win the vacant WBC middleweight title. You were ringside at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino Events Center in Las Vegas, Nnamdi. First off, let's go to the scorecards and get your reaction. Unanimous decision for Canelo, 117 to 111, 119 to 109, and 118 to 110. Fair decision, Nnamdi?
All in favor of Canelo. A little bit wide. It could have been a little closer because some people felt the fight could have been a draw. And some people felt it should have been a little closer. But check this out. Some people felt, too, he should have paid that $300,000 by WBC and he would have been a little closer. You
and
know?
Then maybe the decision would look different.
Yeah, should have paid the $300,000 they demanded, you know.
So you're saying the judges could have been influenced by the WBC decision?
Yeah, because the president of the WBC, Mauricio Suleiman, was ringside, you know. And then he's the one that signs the checks for the judges, you know. I mean, come on, man, you know. You're fighting a Mexican, and the president of the WBC is a Mexican, and he's in the room. You better know what you're doing, or you're not going to get the next assignment. You know?
Nnamdi, I watched the fight, and I sort of agree with this one observer who said it looked like a natural middleweight in his prime, Canelo, beating an aging welterweight just past his prime, Cotto. Your thoughts?
Yes, at the age of 25, Canelo is still growing. And going into this fight, we talked about he may be able to cut off the ring and use his legs and push back Cotto. Cotto was unable to hurt Canelo. You could see Canelo was a prime middleweight, though he claims he's not 160 yet. So, but Cotto just hadn't, he didn't have the impact, you know, because pressure was on Cotto. He kept backing up all night.
So you're saying Canelo was never hurt by anything that Cotto threw?
No. Canelo had airtight defense plus his fast hands, and he was able to even look at the fight, look at his footwork. It kind of reminded me of Muhammad Ali's footwork, you know. You're looking at a fighter that's ready to fight, fan-friendly style, all action. He's got power in both hands, you know.
Nnamdi, you talk about that fan-friendly style of Canelo. Were the fans rooting for Canelo, or were they split in terms of the cheers?
It was a little bit more like a 60-40 split right there, because the Mexicans, they come out and they like action, you know. And their man was just delivering action, and the blows were just like the body shots, the movement, the jabs. He was delivering, and everybody were on their feet, you know. I mean, look back, 6 months ago, millions of people opened their wallet only to feel cheated by this fight of the century, fight of the century, you know, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. But for this fight to end the year with all action, nobody complained. There was no knockdown, but, you know, we had a great time.
Nnamdi, as you told our VOA boxing fans last week, the WBC stripped Cotto of his WBC title for not paying sanctioning fees. Now the belt goes to Canelo. What's next for Canelo in terms of WBC requirements?
Well, Sonny, when they made a deal, there was a stipulation that allowed the fight Saturday night to happen. It was that the winner must begin negotiations with Triple G in 15 days. Because Triple G, mind you, is a WBA and IBF champion, but he's a WBC number one mandatory fighter. So will Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya start negotiating with Triple G? We will see.
How do you see that fight, Nnamdi, Triple G against Canelo?
I've always believed that Triple G is all hype, Sonny. Triple G have not really fought anybody, you know. I mean, Triple G with Canelo is going to be huge because the Mexican fans, they love Canelo. It's their number one guy. It's going to be a great fight. The kind of fight is a fight that will go into the Los Angeles Coliseum or the Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. That fight is enough to draw 100,000 people. But in a big fight like that, we have to negotiate. We have to look at pay-per-view numbers, Sonny. The last Triple G fight was 150,000.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. On the Facebook front, I posted a photo of the late, great Harlem Globetrotter Meadowlark Lemon helping actress Goldie Hawn spin a basketball on her right index finger. One of my Facebook friends, Mike Houle, saw the photo and responded, "Love this pic, Big Son." The black and white photo was taken in 1978 by Associated Press photographer Jeff Robbins. Meadowlark died on Sunday, December 27th at the age of 83. Meadowlark Lemon delighted Goldie Hawn and millions of fans all over the world with his amazing basketball skills and on-court comedy routines with the Globetrotters. I'm VOA's Sonny Young.